take off your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose read.
With Suri this morning. Kia ora, Suri, how are you?
Morena, Rachel. I'm well. How are you going?
Good, good. I'm looking forward to some book recommendations, though, because I've finally made it to the bottom of my stack by my bed.
Oh, no.
Right in the middle of level three.
Yeah, for sure. I think this lockdown, I've read way more than previous lockdown.
Same.
I think that's awesome. What have you been reading?
I've been reading a lot of Susan Orlean's books. I've been enjoying her. I got a bunch out from the library, fortunately, before it closed.
Nice.
But yeah, I've made my way through the pile now. So what have you brought us this morning?
So today I'll be reviewing Betty by Tiffany McDaniel, who's an author from Ohio. I'll just start by saying, like, just a little trigger warning. There is quite a lot of violence and quite a lot of sexual violence in the book. It's quite graphic, but it really follows a family of eight siblings and their white mother and their Cherokee father. And they live in this working-class white town in the Appalachians. And Betty, who's the main protagonist, is, of the siblings, the one who most resembles her Cherokee father. So it sort of navigates this horrific treatment of Indians in Appalachia through the eyes of this young girl. And it's a fictionalized account of the author's mother's real life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's. I can't imagine what it would be like to have, because a lot of the book sort of follows on oral storytelling traditions and uncovering familial trauma and how intergenerational poverty impact us in such a huge way. I can't imagine what it would be like to sit down with your mother and hear some of those stories.
But
it's quite an incredible look at class and race, but also, even though this is set in North America, the stylings are very close to like a Southern literary Gothic.
Right.
There's the constant reminder of sort of like ghosts, real and also very metaphorical, and this great oral storytelling tradition. So the mother tells Betty these stories of, sort of alluding to what life is like, what sexual violence is like when you're a young woman, when you're a young Native woman. But the father's storytelling tradition is completely enwrapped in sort of Cherokee history and Cherokee myths. So you get this incredibly, incredibly intense sort of ebb and flow of like these beautiful descriptions of the natural world and these stories pierced with sort of like beautiful moments of humanity, and then the sort of shattering realism of the violence in their daily lives.
It must be an incredibly, as you just said, it must be an incredibly difficult conversation to have with your mother, and also to then turn it into a story and kind of take a bit of a fictional narrative as well. You know, as a writer, you must feel a lot of responsibility taking on that role.
Absolutely. And I think she's really ekes that out in the story of her mother. So by the end of the story, Betty becomes a writer, and she sort of talks about, she sort of uncovers all of these familial myths and writes about them in a very truthful way, and talks about the catharsis of that experience, but also sort of like the re-traumatization of living out those experiences, some of which are not even your own to live out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think it's about maybe like the fourth or fifth book that I've read over the past couple of years that looks at trauma through the eyes of children. And I just think one of the reasons that like Owe and Singer Unburied Sing by Jessamine Ward, both incredible novels that do such a similar thing. And I think why these novels that explore that trauma through children's eyes are so effective. It's just, as adult readers, we kind of don't imagine we have, like, the naivety or the ignorance of children around these stories. But then when you're plunged into that world and met with violence in such a sort of frank way, I think it just helps you to understand, like, the humanity behind the statistics we read. Because Betty doesn't tell you, I think, as an aware reader, anything especially new about the world, but the way it tells it is so powerful.
Do you think that, I mean, I know that stories like this have been written for, you know, a very long time, but there has been maybe a generational shift in the way they're being told. Do you think that that says something about how conversations about intergenerational trauma are changing, or are perhaps the way that those are happening are changing? Is that something you've thought about, Suri?
Yeah, like a little bit. I think so. It's really interesting thinking about it as well, in terms of, because quite recently I read Generation X by Douglas Coupland, which is quite an interesting sort of funny look at the psychological and cultural hang-ups of Generation X. But I think as well, one of the interesting things is how much maybe, I don't know, at least to my experiences, it feels like that generation, the generation of our parents, are slowly the ones trying to tell these stories that millennials are, trying to seek out to understand themselves better. But I haven't thought about it super deeply, but it's a real good question.
Well, it sounds like a fantastic book. Remind us of the name again.
It's Betty by Tiffany McDaniel, and it's $38 and should be in stores very soon, I think over the next couple of weeks.
Awesome. Can you pre-order it?
Yes, you can definitely pre-order it. You can email your local bookstores and they'll be stoked to hear from you.
Fantastic. Well, it's lovely to hear from you, Suri, and we'll chat to you again in a couple of weeks on the show.
Thanks so much, Rachel. Take care.
Take care, you too. See you later.
That was Bye. Loose Reads.
It certainly was.